What's up, y'all? Welcome to Friday and welcome to the show. My name is Carrie and I am here to give you all the pop culture details. If you are new here, welcome. I'm glad you're here. This is a fun place. As I said, my name is Carrie. I'm a journalist, but I'm also a pop culture junkie. So I come here every Friday and I give you the top five pop culture stories of the week. I break them down and I give you a little bit of my opinion because I have a lot of opinions. Regardless of that, it's a fun show. It's an informative show and I'm just really glad you're here. So let's get right into it. Our first story of the week is going to be an E! People's Choice Awards recap. The 2020 E! People's Choice Awards took place live in Santa Monica, California on Sunday, November 16th. Demi Lovato hosted the affair, and the stage was surrounded with hundreds of people on screens via a Zoom-type format that stretched from floor to ceiling in all angles. Jennifer Lopez was presented with the coveted Icon Award, Tracee Ellis Ross took home the Fashion Icon Award, and Tyler Perry won the People's Champion Award. While practicing social distance, each trophy was left on a podium for the artist to pick up themselves. Over a billion people voted in this year's award show. All right, let's do a little rundown. You know, last week we did a CMA recap, which I told you guys I was really impressed with how they went about the show. And it was, they just did a great job. And after the VMAs, which I thought left much to be desired, I was really impressed with the CMAs. And I have to say, I was also really impressed with this award show. I think E! Did a great job. I thought the layout and how they had the screens, as I said, it was like a Zoom type of thing. And they really did have them lined up from floor to ceiling and it came in all directions. And it was really cool. And they had some, you know, clap tracks and things like that. So it seemed like it was a very lively event. And like, it seemed like there were people there, even though there weren't people there besides the nominees and the winners. There wasn't a crowd there or anything, but having the people there, they even had some people come in, some fans via Zoom and announce some of the winners, which I thought was a really great touch to make people feel, again, like it was a real award show and that they could be part of it from afar. If you are interested in the fashion from this event, you are in luck because I made a YouTube video recapping my best and worst dressed of the night. So go check that out on my YouTube channel. I'll leave a link in the show notes, but I'm not going to do that here because this is an audio format and I could tell you what I liked, but I want to show you pictures. So head on over to my YouTube channel. You can check out that video there. I think Demi Lovato did a really great job hosting. I really do love Demi, and I know she has been through so much, but I really think she is a strong woman who has had a rough go. I think she's been very transparent about her body issues, her drug issues, things like that. So I'm really here for watching her shine like this. And I really think, regardless of the fact that I just like her as a human, I think she did a great job. She, her opening monologue, she poked fun at herself, which she kind of had to. It was such a big elephant in the room about her engagement and then calling off her engagement. And so she definitely poked fun at herself, which again, if she didn't, it would almost be awkward if she didn't because it was such a headline grabber. I'm glad that she just like tactfully addressed it, made a small joke and then let it go. She didn't mention it the rest of the night. He was not a fan of that. He actually commented on a couple Instagram posts that making fun of our breakup for clout is not a good idea. And a couple of other things like, please stop talking about me at awards show. Like he commented a couple things. And my first thought was like, dude, it's Demi Lovato. She doesn't need any clout. Like you're the one who needs the clout, bro. Like, so that comment was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I think she did exactly the right thing. She touched on it a little, made a joke, and then didn't talk about it anymore. So kudos to her. I think she did a great job. In terms of some other things, I was really, really surprised to see that Ellen DeGeneres Show, won for Best Talk Show, which was interesting to me considering all of the backlash that show has gotten this year. I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of Ellen stans out there, but she has taken a lot of heat. Go back and listen to some other episodes. I've talked in length about all of the, you know, sketchy things that have been going on that show. Supposedly behind the scenes, she made a big hoopla about coming out in her acceptance speech and thanking everyone who worked on the show and put the show together. I mean, she really, and that's kind of what she's got to do at this point. She's got to do some damage control, but she really made sure to thank all her staff. The whole thing was just really awkward to me. And I, for the most part, I really like Ellen, but I'm just like, I'm really confused on how to address how I feel about her going forward. So I don't know. It was just strange to me that she won. Justin Bieber performed and he did an amazing job. You guys, Justin is another person who like I couldn't give two shits about in his earlier career and then in his middle career where he was doing weird shit and being a weird person. But ever since he married Hailey, he really seems to have his stuff together and seems to be making really good music. I mean, he's making some good stuff and his performance was really great. I mean, he has a great voice. Like he doesn't need the auto tune or any of that stuff. Like his performance was great. So I really enjoyed his performance and I'm really happy to see him thriving. You know, becoming famous so young is hard and a lot of people take a downward spiral, but I'm glad to see him coming into his own and I hope he continues that. Tracee Ellis Ross won the Style Icon Award. I think that is a really great choice. She has always been a really big fashion proponent, and I think she speaks a lot through the clothes she wears, and she takes risks, and she does fun things, and I think she was a perfect choice. J.Lo won the People's Icon Award, which, again, is a very deserving person to win. She had a really long video and then acceptance speech and all this other stuff, and it was great. She's J.Lo. She should get all the awards. Tyler Perry getting the People's Champion Award, again, really deserving. He does so many amazing things in what he's built from a company, but then also what he does from a philanthropic standpoint. So very, very deserving people all around. Good choices, E. Overall, I thought the award show was really great. I think they did a great job. I'm happy to see it. I really am. Story number two, Taylor Swift speaks out after Scooter Braun sells the rights to her masters for $300 million. You guys, we've talked about this story before on Pop Culture Friday, and it continues to evolve. So this is the latest. Swift took to Twitter on Monday, November 16th, to respond to reports that Braun recently sold Big Machine Label Group, which includes the master's rights for Swift's first six albums. Variety reported that the sale exceeded the $300 million that Braun's company, Ithaca Holdings, had paid in June 2019 to purchase Swift's former record label. Her tweet included two screenshots, a lengthy message to her fans, and a letter that she says was sent to the investment fund that purchased the rights to her master's recordings from Braun. Swift had explained that her team previously hoped to make a deal with Braun to regain the ownership of her masters, but that Braun's side insisted on her signing an NDA to ensure that she would never speak a negative word about the veteran music manager again. Because of this, terms of the deal were never discussed. Quote, a few weeks ago, my team received a letter from a private equity company called Shamrock Holdings, letting us know that they had bought 100% of my music, videos, and album art from Scooter Braun. This was the second time that my music has been sold without my knowledge. The letter told me that they wanted to reach out before the sale to let me know, but that Scooter Braun had required that they make no contact with me or my team or the deal would be off. Swift went on to say that while she was optimistic about working with Shamrock, her feelings changed when she was informed that Braun would still make money off of her music. Quote, as soon as we started the communication with Shamrock, I learned under their terms, Scooter Braun will continue to profit off my old musical catalog for many, many years. I was hopeful and open to the possibility of a partnership with Shamrock, but Scooter's participation is a non-starter for me, end quote. That was a long one. All right, you guys, this, again, I said, played out a while back when Scooter, who Taylor hates, she notoriously hates him, bought her masters, which for those of you who don't know, this is the cliff notes of what the masters are. When you sign on to a record company, a lot of times, you know, Taylor got signed when she was very young. A lot of these people are signing things that they don't know what they entail. And a lot of that stuff entails, you know, we'll make you star or whatever, or we'll do this, we'll do that. You can sign to this record deal, but we have the rights to your master. So that means that they have the rights to, for example, you know, who a master's would include. So like if Taylor's song gets used in a movie or a commercial or again, her album art or whatever it is, that is all rights to the masters. And that is all whoever owns her masters gets the right to choose whether or not her music is used wherever it's used. So essentially, she makes the music, she makes money off of it, of course, and whatnot, but she doesn't own the rights to do what she wants with it. It's kind of confusing, but I hope that makes sense. So Scooter owned this. She hates Scooter. This what played out a lot in the tabloids and it was really messy. It makes sense that Scooter wants to wash his hands of this and just be done with Taylor. She's never going to like him. They're never going to see eye to eye. There's never going to be a come to Jesus there, I don't think. And if there is, it's not going to happen anytime soon. So it makes sense that he wanted to sell it. In terms of like her having to sign an NDA before they even started talking price, it's a little suspicious. NDAs are very common, especially in the entertainment world. And for those of you who don't know, NDA stands for non-disclosure agreement, which means there are certain things you cannot say. Once you sign that, you are punishable by law. So, for example, a lot of celebrities who have assistants or realtors or anything like that, like all those people have to sign NDAs saying that the realtor is not going to go around saying, hey, to his random friends at the bar being like, hey, I'm selling a house to Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. Like that would be a breach of the NDA or giving out the address to the house that he just sold Chrissy Teigen and John Legend or whatever. I'm just using that as an example, but that's all under an NDA. There's certain things once you sign it that you can't say. And the, you know, details of every NDA is different. So the fact that they were trying to get her to sign one before they even started negotiating is really suspicious and just seems very just weird. In terms of this new company, I mean, I understand that she doesn't want anything to do with Scooter and she doesn't want anything that she does to benefit him in any way. She is moving forward with re-recording her music, so she's able to do that. I think starting in 2019, she was able to re-record, if I'm not mistaken. So she is doing that and she's going to continue doing that, which is great. And I think she'll do some fun stuff. I think she'll, you know, she's kind of hinted that she's going to make it fun and make it worth it and whatnot. And I'm glad for that. I think that she as an artist has deserved the right to own her work, and not every artist can afford to do that or wants to do that, but she does, so she should have the right to be able to do that. So I'm happy for her. I'm team Taylor on this one. I always have been. I think that, you know, it's just unfortunate she has tried so long to own her music, to have the rights to her music, and she's just kind of been screwed by Scooter. So I'm glad to see he's removing himself, and I'm glad to see that this is like moving forward in some way. All right, you guys, story number three, Michael B. Jordan is named People's Sexiest Man Alive of 2020. The magazine revealed its 2020 pick on Tuesday, November 17th on Jimmy Kimmel Live after Kimmel had viewers at home take guesses as to who it would be. In 2013, the then 26-year-old actor Michael B. was featured in People's first annual Ones to Watch portfolio for his critically acclaimed performance in that year's film Fruitvale Station. Now he's been crowned People's 2020 Sexiest Man Alive. Quote, "It's a cool feeling," he tells People in this week's cover story. You know, everybody always made that joke, like, Mike, this is going to be the one thing you're probably not going to get, but it's a good club to be a part of, end quote. From chiseling his body to carrying on the boxing legacy of Apollo Creed as his son Adonis in 2015's Creed to portraying Black Panther's ruthless villain in 2018, Jordan, now 33, continues to make his mark in Hollywood. As 2020's Sexiest Man Alive, Michael B. takes the title from last year's pick, John Legend. Past title holders include Idris Elba, Dwayne Johnson, David Beckham, and Chris Hemsworth. I totally think that Michael B. is a perfect pick, but I have to say, you know, I've gone through this with Meghan Markle, how I feel almost like maternal towards her, even though she's much older than me. But I feel maternal towards her because I knew about Meghan Markle when she was on Suits. I love Suits. I've watched Suits from the beginning. And she was this no-name actress on Suits. And so then when she got uber famous for dating Harry, everyone's like, Meghan Markle. And I'm like, no, that's Rachel Zane. Like, and I felt maternal over her glow up and her rise to fame. I feel similarly to Michael B. because I remember Michael B. from Friday Night Lights when he played Vince. And again, like, I just feel like he was I don't know how old he was then, but he was playing a teenager. And I remember him then. And he was this cute little boy, cute little teenage boy. And now he's like this full grown man who's People's Sexiest Man Alive. I think that he is an incredible actor and I think he's doing incredible things. He has shown that he's really active as well in the civil rights area. He's done a ton with the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think he has his own production company and a bunch of other things. But I think he is a great, you know, I don't know if we can consider him young Hollywood anymore, but I think he's a great addition to this community of, you know, this like 20 to 30 something year old, you know, Hollywood. And I think he's a perfect recipient. He's definitely attractive. Congrats, Michael B. Well deserved. All right, you guys, next story. Conan O'Brien announces he's ending his late night talk show after 28 years and is taking his talents to streaming. O'Brien announced on Tuesday that he'll finish his TBS series Conan at the completion of its 10th season on June 2021. However, he has signed on for a new weekly variety series on HBO Max. Quote, "I'm thrilled that I get to continue doing whatever the hell I do on HBO Max, and I look forward to a free subscription," the comedian joked in a statement released by Warner Media. I wanted to put this story in this episode because streaming is changing the way that we consume media. It's changing everything. And it, you know, it's happened, I feel like, slowly with Netflix. You know, Netflix is not a new thing. I remember when Netflix, you know, was where you would get the DVDs in the mail like that. I remember when they started, that's what they did. They shipped the DVDs to you and then you had to ship them back. Like, so that is not, you know, the concept of streaming and whatnot is not new, but it's having a moment and it is competing so hard with these network television, you know, companies that the tables are about to turn. I think the tables have gotten even more and more even. But I mean, Netflix has tons of money. Hulu has tons of money. HBO has tons of money. You know, they can get big talent. They can get big names. They can produce these big movies and these big shows. And they are just as good, if not better than, probably better. Most of them are better than the network things. And I think this is an example of that, where Conan is probably getting a sweet deal on HBO Max. He's been doing the same thing for a long time. From what I heard, this is going to be a variety show, a weekly variety show. So it will have a different look to it. But it, I mean, he can do something a little bit different, but still be Conan. He's probably making a shit ton of money. I don't know what his deal that he signed was for, but it's like, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he mix it up? David Letterman has his show on Netflix that's much more chill. You know, he just kind of does an episode here and there. Like, it's like he doesn't have the rigorous, you know, late night schedule, which we all know that can be really rigorous, but he's still David Letterman. He's still making a ton of money and he still gets to do what he wants. So why wouldn't you go to streaming? Just as many people, if not more people, are going to see that. And so I'm not surprised. And this, again, like I said, the tables are turning so much and streaming is really, really, really coming for these network shows and their talent, quite frankly. So congrats to Conan, the lovable redhead with the floppy hair. Congrats to you. I wish him all the best. I'm not a huge late night person, but I wish him well. Before we get into the Bachelorette recap, I have to mention that they dropped the new trailer for Matt James 919's season of The Bachelor. I was excited to see this. This was the most nondescript, boring trailer I've ever seen in my life. It literally showed nothing. It showed him kissing like two girls. It showed some of the girls coming out of the limo. It showed some girls crying. Like it gave us everything that a Bachelor teaser needs. Like someone crying, someone talking about how hot he is, him kissing someone, and him being overwhelmed by everyone being there. Like, those are the things we got and nothing more. So it really did not shed light into anything. And I'm not surprised because they're still filming. So they just got some of the basic stuff and put it together to get us excited. So, which I guess it worked. Let's dive into the Bachelorette recap. We start this episode with the grown-ass man group date, complete with an appearance by Bachelor franchise couple Ashley and Jared. I want to know how you guys feel about them. Are you sick of them? Do you still like them? Do you feel the genuineness of them being there? I mean, they're not really close to Tayshia and that they were never on a show together. Like, what did you think of them popping up? They are a successful Bachelor couple, so maybe that's like, you know, inspiration. I mean, I don't know. Let me know what you guys think of that. They do a couple silly things like they always do on these dumb dates. They answer these math questions. They do this breakfast in bed thing. Like, it's just, it's weird. Bennett ends up winning this challenge, this date. And, you know, so that's pretty much it. It was pretty uneventful for me. We get to cocktail time and all of a sudden, out of literally nowhere, comes Ed and Chasen and a bunch of drama. It literally just came. I mean, there must have been a magician on set. I don't know where this came from. Did anyone else see this coming? Like, it seemed so random to me. And I just didn't care about any of this. What happened is Ed accuses Chasen of trying to be on the show to gain clout. And Ed says that Chasen was using the same adjectives to describe Tayshia as he did to describe Claire. This is an interesting theory and it's an interesting, you know, thing to pose. It's possible that the adjectives that Tayshia is also the adjectives that Claire, for example, if you say Claire is smart and beautiful and a strong woman, you know, I would agree that Tayshia is also smart and beautiful and a strong woman. And I don't think that means that like one of them has a cold on these adjectives and the other one doesn't. I mean, like part of me kind of sees what he's saying, but the other part of me is like, dude, Ed, like, I don't know how like much of a vocabulary you think Chasen has, but I'm going to guess it's not that large. Like, just what does this matter? So he called her the same things. I don't really see it. I think he's pulling at straws. He's carrying around that dumb baby, which just creeps me out. And he literally had it the entire night. I was like, dude, put the baby down. But it doesn't end there because Ed goes to Tayshia as always, which I just want to say, when does a person going to the lead saying someone's not here for the right reasons ever end up good for that person? Never, because you just become a tattletale and you just take the tension away from your, you know, connection. Like, never works out for anyone. Go back and watch any of the seasons of someone who told on someone and they didn't make it that far. So Ed, you're automatically not going to make it that far, I think, just because of this. So Ed goes to Tayshia, says, I don't think Chasen is, quote, here for the right reasons. We love one of those quotes. We always got to get one. And Tayshia, you know, during the rose ceremony, of course, it's so dramatic, but she keeps both Ed and Chasen. The guys that go home, I literally didn't even know their names. They literally got no screen time. The next date, we have another group date. This time it is a wrestling date. And my first thought was, who in the hell thought this would be a good idea? Like, how is this not a liability? Like, this just has bad idea written all over it. There's no padding. There's no nothing. They're literally just putting these guys in like a fence and telling them to like beat the shit out of each other. It's so weird to me that they thought that this was a good idea. I just don't like this. Again, excessive nakedness. I mean, they're not in Speedos, but they're in these tight little like short type of things, and they're half naked. Can we get a date where they're not half naked? I don't understand this. And I think it's a bad look for the Bachelor franchise that none of these dates, or all of these dates, I should say, involved like excessive nakedness. I'm really sick of it. I also thought it was interesting that Chris told the guys that they're going to be wrestling in front of a live audience that night, blah, blah, blah. The live audience ended up being the other guys in the house that weren't on the group date, which was like, okay, Chris, like, I don't know if that counts as a live audience, but okay. So that was strange. We get to the point where Ed and Chasen are supposed to wrestle each other. And this is, of course, a lot of drama because it got heated the night before. And then Ed goes to Chris, not a producer or anyone else, but goes to Chris and says, I have an old injury where my shoulder pop out. I don't think I should wrestle. Blah, 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 blah. Sounds good. That's fine. Chris asks if anyone will wrestle Chasen. Noah, mustache boy, jumps in the ring and volunteers to wrestle Chasen and then loses. But because he showed up for, you know, and volunteered, Tayshia invites him to come to the cocktail party where they bond, and she gives him the group rose eventually. But in between that, Noah shaves his mustache for Tayshia. It still looks like Jordan Kimball. I just can't unsee it. And then the big drama with Ben at the end of the night where he fails to pull Tayshia aside for time. And I thought it was funny at the end of this, Tayshia goes over and is like, Ben, we never talked. And then, but she says, oh, but the night's over. Like, I have to go to bed. It was just so funny because there's no way they put time limits on these things. There's no way, like, if Tayshia didn't want to talk to him, that they wouldn't be like, okay, let's give her 5 minutes to talk to him. But the way she came back to the group and she's just like, oh, the night's over. And it's like, oh, it's like, is it Tayshia? Is the night really over? It was so dumb to me. I couldn't get over it. Just an interesting week all around. I saw in a couple of the Bachelor, you know, chats I'm in, or Bachelor Facebook pages I'm in, I should say. There were a lot of people who were comparing Chasen to John B from Outer Banks. And I have to say, I can't unsee it. It's true. It's so true. So I don't know. In terms of whose side, Ed or Chasen's side, I'm not really on either of their sides. I think this is a dumb situation. But Ed annoys me more. I would say if I had to pick someone who annoys me more, it would be Ed. Bachelorette out of the way. Let's do a quick sports minute. Ugh, it's hard to even talk about this, you guys, because the game this week was so ugly. Let's just quickly get into this. The Green Bay Packers beat the Jags 24-20 last Sunday at Lambeau Field. It was not good. Aaron Rodgers was 24-34 on the day, throwing for 325 yards, two TDs, and one interception. Marquez Valdez-Scantling caught four balls for 149 yards. The rush game was god-awful. No one did anything, really. The Packers moved to 7-2 on the season and will take on the Colts this coming Sunday. It was not a good game, you guys. The Jags had one win on the year, and I'm so glad we won. If we would have lost, I would have been so pissed. But like, I can't talk about this joyfully. It was not a good performance by us. Let's do some congrats and condolences. This week, congrats go out to Emma Roberts, who became the first pregnant woman to be featured on the cover of Cosmo. Why did it take so long? That seems weird. It's strange to me, but good for her. Good for you, Emma Roberts. Congrats this week also go out to Harry Styles, who made history by being the first man to appear solo on the cover of Vogue. This caused a lot of drama because he was photographed in dresses and things like that, which, you know, Vogue is very high fashion. He's a guy. If he wants to be in a dress, who cares? But this caused a lot of drama amongst conservative pundits, specifically Candace Owens. It was an interesting situation. I'm not going to go into it, but he did make history being the first man to appear solo on the cover. So good for him. Our final congrats goes out to the Queen and Prince Philip, who are celebrating 73 years of marriage together. Holy cow, that's a long time. Congrats to them. They are so sweet. I just love them. Condolences this week. We have one condolence this week. It goes out to Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis, who have reportedly split after 10 years together. The two first started dating in 2011 and became engaged a year later. They share a son, Otis, who is 6, and a daughter, Daisy, who is 4. Not only was I surprised to see this because they have been together forever, I thought they were married. I didn't know that they were engaged. I mean, they've been together 10 years and they've been engaged for like 8 of those years. So I guess I just assumed that they were married, but I guess they weren't. They're a beautiful couple, really, really attractive. I'm glad they have kids together and can be some attractive kids. It's always sad to see a relationship break up, but wishing them the best. They were already photographed this week embracing. So I think that they have been broken up. I think I read in the article since the beginning of like April or March. So it's just becoming public now, and condolences go out to them. There you have it, Candies. Those are my top five pop culture stories of the week. I hope this left you informed and entertained. If you love today's show, then come on back next Friday. I will be here again, ready to give you all the tea. If you're in the market for some real life topics, come back on Tuesday where I talk openly and honestly about the messiness of being a human. I even invite on some of my super awesome and talented friends to share their stories. Before you leave, make sure you subscribe to the show, take a screenshot of this episode and share it to your stories. Make sure you tag me. I am at Carrie.Gillespie and the show is at Candidly Speaking Podcast. The number one thing you can do to help the show is tell a friend, tell a stranger, tell your dog, tell your Uber driver, tell everyone about the show and how much you love it. Last but certainly not least, leave us a 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts and write a review about how I'm your internet bestie and you love hanging out with me every week because I love hanging out with you. That's going to do it, guys. Have an amazing weekend. I'll see you next week.